Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years as radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget all the other things you can do at our website, including listening to thousands of archives of past shows that we've had with our Brain Trust members, and also hundreds, actually probably more than 1,000 articles that you can read. Those are all free thanks to our outstanding sponsors. I'm excited about having Mona Charon on the show, ladies and gentlemen. I mentioned her to you already this hour, and many of you have seen her on television. She's on many television shows over the years, representing the right side of political issues. She's a syndicated columnist. Many of you read her column every week in hundreds of papers across the country. She also has a former best-selling book, Useful Idiots, which is many of you have seen. She has a new book out that I predict will be another bestseller. It's called Do-Gooders, How Liberals Hurt Those They Claim to Help. Mona Charon, welcome to the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here, and I read your column every week and enjoy it. And I still miss you on because I used to see you a lot more on television than I do these days.
That's true. I used to have a regular gig, and now it's only episodic.
Yeah. Well, it's always good to see you because you're a very smart lady, and you have important things to say. Now, is Do-Gooders a sequel to Useful Idiots?
I would say rather than a sequel, it's a companion.
Okay.
because Useful Idiots talked about how wrong liberals were about the Cold War. And, you know, they were completely on the wrong side. They thought that communism and socialism were the wave of the future, and that, as Chris Dodd memorably put it, Senator from Connecticut, we were on the wrong side of history. And, of course, it was they who were on the wrong side. I argued in Useful Idiots that they really had a lot to answer for, morally and strategically, for their foolishness during the Cold War.
Well, and you're saying that that's still going on these days.
And yes, well, it's definitely still going on with regard to foreign policy. And this book, Do-Gooders, is really taking the liberals on domestic policy and saying, you know, let's examine their own claims that they are there to be the party of compassion, that they are the ones who care about the less fortunate, that they do good for people, unlike us mean, you know, avaricious conservatives. And what I point out is, of course, that liberalism's solutions not only don't work, they actually make things worse.
Is part of the problem that conservatives or conservatism has been the philosophy for the last 50 years that dare not speak its own name?
Well, I think actually...
You talk about that in the new book a little bit.
Well, yes.
Not in those words, but those are my words.
I do address the issue of, you know, conservatives need to have confidence in their own virtues, in their own values, and not always seek to copy the, you know, code words of the left. You know, you don't have to describe yourself as a compassionate conservative. Conservatism by itself has many wonderful traits. It's based on achievement, performance, self-reliance, autonomy, freedom, responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
These are all things that conservatism represents and ought to be celebrated. Away from them.
They're basically the building blocks, the foundation of how this nation was formed.
Well, exactly. And as I point out in Do-Gooders, liberals have been about undermining the building blocks of our society, specifically the family. You know, when you knock out the mother, father, traditional family, It is like destroying the pillars that hold up the whole society. And this is a battle that is still going on. I think that the struggle over gay marriage is not about gays, it's about marriage. It's about the fundamental unit of society. But liberals have shown themselves willing, you know, to defend every other kind of family, but they've consistently undervalued and not appreciated the importance, for example, of a father being the head of a family and being in the home raising his children. We've had an experiment over the last 40 years of seeing how it works if we just say, well, any old family is fine. You know, no father at home, fine. No wedding, fine. And it's been a complete disaster, most of all for the poor and minority.
Mona, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with our new friend, Mona Charon, the author of Do-Gooders. It's 20 Tales. Stay with us. Here's Chicago to take us out. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our new friend, Mona Charon, who's the author of Do-Gooders, How Liberals Hurt Those They Claim to Help. And she's our new friend only in that this is her first visit on the show, but she's not a new friend in terms of the fact that you all know who she is, and I do. I've admired her work for a long time. Mona, I have, and I want to thank you for the work that you do. Do you have a website you'd like to give us?
People can look at my columns on townhall.com.
Okay, townhall.com.
Yep.
And where's the book available?
Everywhere.
All right. Wherever books are sold in the airports.
Wherever books are sold, and also, of course, online on either the National Review website, which I highly recommend, by the way, great site, or barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com, any
right.
old place. It's out there.
Right. Mona, I know your book's about liberals, but I want to talk about the Democrat Party for a second, if you don't mind. Can we talk about the last election for just a second?
You bet.
One of the most interesting things that happened in that election was the process was at the end when Mr. Kerry and Mr. Edwards gave their concession speeches. John Edwards got up there and made what essentially was his 2008, the first 2008 campaign speech.
That's right.
It wasn't a concession. It was just a campaign speech. But here's what he said. I thought this was very instructive to me as a small business advocate. He said, we're going to keep fighting for you. Don't worry. We're going to keep fighting for you. Well, I have a theory about that. And,
mm-hmm.
and I believe this is something that I could help the Democrat Party with.
Don't.
For generations, the Democrat Party has been fighting for minorities, for women, et cetera, and they've done a lot of good things, and those folks have benefited significantly. But what's happened, I think, is their constituents, many of their constituents, women, minorities, have grown, and now they're more likely to say to the Democratic Party, I don't need you to fight for me. You've already done that. You did a good job. But I want to start a small business. Help me start a small business. Stop fighting for me and help me start a small business. I don't need you to fight for me anymore. What do you think?
Well, I've never quite understood what we're going to fight for you means. I mean, it sounds nice, campaign blather. But you know, congressmen and senators get up there and they vote on specific bills. And these bills tend to clutter up the lives of their constituents with a lot of regulation, with high taxes, and with other impediments to a good life. Now, the Democrats will claim that, you know, fighting for you, for example, means I'll get you, you know, more money from wealthy people by raising taxes on them. But the amount that they get through a redistributionist scheme is always going to be de minimis. I mean, they'd be far better off following your advice and starting a small business and making their way in the world. And, of course, more and more people are doing just that,
mm-hmm.
and especially women who need and like the flexibility of being their own boss, because you can combine that more readily with raising a family. Than you can if you're just part of some big impersonal corporation. and minorities too are starting businesses at record rates, and
especially Hispanics.
Yes, and it is a completely different paradigm. And the problem is, Democrats don't know how to handle that because they actually don't want people to be independent and entrepreneurial. Because people who are independent and entrepreneurial don't need anything from the state except for the state to get out of their way and let them, make a better life for themselves and for their neighbors.
Now, for that statement, is it important to say, more accurate maybe to say liberal than Democrat, because there are Democrats?
That's true.
And I know what you mean, though.
Yeah. I would say yes, it does. There are certainly exceptions in the Democratic Party.
There still are some Paul Tsongas Democrats out there who don't hate employers, who love jobs and employers.
Right.
But the thing is that, you know, I don't think John Edwards is one of those people. Let's get back into the book a little bit. And you say in your book that liberalism created the crime wave. Talk to us about that.
Oh, yes, there is no question. Liberals became enchanted in the 1960s, which was a liberal era. Liberal ideas dominated everything in the 60s and 70s. And one of their very noxious ideas was that poverty caused crime, not criminality, or not a bad soul, or not, you know, a lot of other things that we may think cause crime. And so they said, the answer to crime, and I quote Lyndon Johnson and a lot of other liberals, is to reduce the sentences for criminal acts, to reduce punishments, and to provide more money for housing and education and social programs, welfare of various kinds, and that this would reduce crime.
The Great Society.
Well, the Great Society. And, of course, what was the consequence? Crime shot through the roof, and it stayed high until conservatives changed the policy and began to increase sentences and put people back in jail. By the way, this caused great consternation in the pages of the New York Times. They just could not figure out how this could be happening, and they ran not one, not two, but at least three front-page stories with headlines that said, crime continues to drop despite increase in prison population.
Mona, stand by. We have to take a break. Another thing that happened about 10 years ago or so was welfare reform. And I believe that had a great deal to do with reducing crime in America. It's 10:10. We're going to be right back with our friend Mona Charon, the author of Do Gooders. It's available wherever books are sold, and I certainly recommend it to you. Stay with us, please.
Say that joker to the thief. There's too much confusion.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and having a great visit with our new friend Mona Charon, the author of Do-Gooders, How Liberals Hurt Those They Claim to Help and the Rest of Us. It's available wherever books are sold, and I hope you'll, if you haven't already been doing this, I hope you'll take the time to read her columns and in the hundreds of newspapers across the country where they're found. And there's also a website where they can go, isn't there, Mona?
Yes, it's called townhall.com.
All right.
And not only can you read my current column, but it will give you access to the whole archive. You can go back, I think, a couple of years.
Great. I appreciate that. Mona, in this world, President Bush has done some pretty remarkable things with regard to women, minorities, and I don't just mean in the United States. I mean globally. And I'm trying to think about a world where the exact same things were happening, but there was a Democrat president in the White House. What would that world look like?
Well, you know, you mentioned off air that Bush gets no credit for having two African American secretaries of state
and one a woman.
And one a woman, and for promoting minorities and Hispanics and so on. There's a reason for that. The fact is that the Democrats and liberals have figured out that if they cease to get 85 to 90% of black votes in this country, they won't win any more elections because they consistently get fewer than 50% of the white vote. And so they have made it a policy to sow racial division and distrust and hatred wherever possible. And I give lots of examples in do-gooders. You know, the whole, blacks were disenfranchised in Florida myth was propagated by liberals because they want minorities to believe that their only hope, their only friends are to be found in the Democratic Party. And so they are not above circulating really malicious lies about the other side in order to keep black people, African Americans, feeling resentful and targeted and hated.
Should black Americans resent the fact that someone suggests that they can be intimidated at the polls in the 21st century?
Well, some are.
I would think that they would. I would be if I were a black American in 2004 and someone said that I could actually be intimidated at the polls.
Obviously, black people are full citizens. They're participating at every level in our society. We have, black nurses, black multimillionaire entertainers, black multimillionaire businessmen, black FBI agents, black newscasters. I mean, blacks have entered the middle class in America. I mean, the notion that, that we're still in the 1960s, which is the way liberals would like to present it, to keep blacks worried and resentful is just it's completely reactionary.
Mona, let me go back to this other subject. You know, in this world I was talking about, where everything that's happened has happened, except it's a Democrat in the White House. What kind of credit would that president be getting, having helped women vote and tens of millions of women vote in their own democracies around the world?
Of course they would be lauded and cheered and celebrated. And that just shows the terrible partisanship that grips the left. I mean, obviously there's partisanship on the right as well, but it's particularly blatant on the part of feminists. You know, as we were speaking off air, the people who, during the Clarence Thomas trial said that sexual harassment was absolutely unforgivable. The worst thing that a superior could do to an inferior was to take advantage of her sexually and so on and so forth. And then, of course, when Bill Clinton was, accused of doing far worse than Clarence Thomas was ever accused of, suddenly we were told, well, it's just sex and it's consenting adults and it's no big deal. And, they're hypocrisy was just glaring.
Well, one last thing, Mona. How are you at math?
How am I at math?
Yeah. are you good at math, you being a woman?
Oh, got it. Boy, that's a great story, isn't it? If you read what he said.
I got 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, anyway, the president of Harvard basically said maybe there are some basic genetic differences between the sexes, which I think is undeniable, by the way.
Well, whether there is or not, he was asked to come to a freewheeling, no holds barred discussion, and then when he freewheeled, he got skewered.
Oh, well, you know what? The universities are absolutely Stalinist. There is no deviation permitted from the politically correct orthodoxy.
That's one of the ironies. Mona, congratulations on your new book. I know it's going to be a bestseller. Will you come back another day and be with us again?
Yes, I will.
Thank you. Mona Charon, ladies and gentlemen, her new book is called Do-Gooders. We'll get her back another day. She's a lot of fun and a very smart lady. Got to take a quick break. I'll be back in just a few minutes. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.